you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
I have to say, we're all very impressed by your meteoric rise in Napoleon's army. We sent you back as a boot polisher, and you ended up as first marshal of the empire. And what an empire! It stretched from France to India, and thanks to your leadership, you almost completely neutered the British. It is too bad. You were pulled from this world before Napoleon's son could be crowned emperor. I understand you were really looking forward to experiencing the coronation. Before we move on, I have to say, it seems like you're starting to become a little too attached to the worlds we're sending you to. I advise you to be careful. It's important to stay focused on reality. Immerse yourself in the experience, of course, but don't lose sight of home. Now, onto your orientation. It says on your form, you're looking for a vacation. You've had plenty of adventures and you want a break. A little sightseeing, a little culture without the plagues or wars. I don't blame you. We encourage our staff and our long-term clients such as yourself to enjoy one of our vacation worlds and just shake it out. We have just the world for you. Rome's expansion into Greece was brutal. They devastated the Hellenistic world, shipping the flower of Greece back to Rome, either as booty or as slaves. This was followed by half a century of heavy taxes that left the Greeks on the edge of catastrophe. One little slip, one missed payment, and they would be sold into slavery, no second chances. This was a horrible time to live in Greece, and as you can well imagine, the Greeks were more than happy when the Romans imploded into what we know as the social wars. It was the perfect opportunity to rebel, and rebel they did. In one brutal night, they killed every Roman in Greece and declared their independence. Now, in our world, the social wars were wrapped up quickly, and the legions marched on Greece, where they extracted a terrible revenge. But in the world we're sending you to, the social wars were never resolved. The Romans remained fractured, and like a serpent eating its tail, they kept biting themselves further and further until there was nothing left to bite. Please, put on your costume now while I finish your orientation. We're sending you to Athens about 30 years after the rebellion. Greece has rebounded and is flourishing. It's part of a larger empire called Pontus, which is ruled by a brilliant king named Mithridates. The Greek city-states, such as Athens and Sparta, are largely self-ruled. They operate a bit like a confederation or union of states, and Mithridates is their brilliant administrator. He's a man of science and philosophy, and he encourages the spread of knowledge across his empire. Every city has its own great library, and these libraries act like a network, lending to each other and sharing new ideas in a way that just wasn't done in our world. Of course, there are strong ties to the real great library at Alexandria, which is truly dazzling. You must make your way over there at some point. Ah, let's have a look at you. Well, don't you look like a classic Greek? The sandals, the white linen embroidered with fine patterns and the subtle jewelry. And I didn't fail to notice that you had our plastic surgeons add a layer of skin over your robotic arm. A very good idea. Well, step on the platform and let's get you on your way. You're going to have a great time, so just relax and enjoy a little culture. You turn the small iron knob. The igniter clicks and a satisfying rush of gas whooshes into a warm glow. You see your reflection in the concave metal behind the flame. There are crow's feet at the edges of your eyes, and your temples have long since turned gray. Still, not bad, considering you've been in this world for over 50 years. 50 years! It's long enough to forget. Or perhaps question reality. Was it all a dream? Is the 24th century just a fantasy of an eccentric old inventor? I can't wait to open them, Persephone says. You turn and meet her beautiful brown eyes. They're filled with such innocence. You wonder how long they'll stay that way, then shake off the thought. No, you will do whatever it takes to keep her safe. She will thrive in this world, and those beautiful eyes will stay innocent. Go ahead, you say, smiling at the girl. She rips open the package and pulls out large sheets of papyrus paper and the smell of Egypt. These sheets are covered in black ink, schematics of pistons and spark plugs, cranks and wings. They're good, you say. It looks like they may have even surpassed us. I think they have, Persephone says, holding a letter. Listen to this. To our dear friends in Athens, this day will go down in history. Our flying machine was launched from the roof of the library. The first flight lasted 10 minutes. The second, the whole afternoon. The third, and we did not see the machine or its pilot again until the next morning. Self-propelled flight is now a reality, and soon the skies over Alexandria will be full of these great mechanical birds. Her hands slump on the table, and she pouts. She looks like she's about to cry. They beat us! They were our designs! It's fine, my little dove. It's not important that we were first. What is important is that the winged victory works. Your designs are sound. When can we fly? Oh, well, we'll fly one day, after the war. The library doors open, and the sound of Athens pours in. You have to squint against the brightness. Your son stands in the doorway, surrounded by hoplite soldiers. Hand me the papers, dear, you say, and quickly wrap them up in their packaging. The girl pleads with you with her eyes, but what can you do?
There you are,
your son says. His hobnailed sandals clink on the marble floor.
I thought I told you to stay away from my daughter.
You smile awkwardly. You were trying to keep your meeting quick, keep it secret, but your son has his spies. I'm sorry, Daedalus, but please don't keep me from my granddaughter. I need her.
What, so you can corrupt her with your blasphemy?
No, no, I promise. I won't say anything to her against the gods. Nothing. He grabs the handles of her wheelchair and turns her violently towards the door.
I know what you stand for, and it's not Greek. I won't have my daughter's head filled with your foreign ideas.
What ideas? You say, suddenly very irritated. That women should be equal to men? That they should have an equal chance to engage in society and not be married off young and forced to breed and cook? This is a golden age, Daedalus. There are libraries and philosophers, and now men are flying over Alexandria. Don't you want to share that world with your daughter?
No.
No? You can't see her spark? Her intelligence? She's got the mind of an Aristotle, or even a Mithridates.
She will do what all Athenian women do. She will marry. She will bear children. She will weave and she will cook. That's all.
Now, if you try to contact her again, I will have you ostracized from Athens.
No more chances.
But, Daddy, you can't keep us apart.
He cuffs her on the back of the head. Your muscles react, but you manage to check yourself. Your son notices. He leans in, his armor reflecting the gaslight.
You have a job to do. Now get back to work.
You heave against the lever. Your dead robotic arm dangles useless at your side. Three shirtless young men jump in and help, their muscles glistening with sweat. There's a sharp pain in your side. It feels like a string popping and you crumple to the ground with a scream. The young men leap to your aid. Through the pain, all you can feel is resentment for their youth. You slap their hands away.
Just get the gas flowing,
you say. They pause, then leap back to the lever with the dexterity of gymnasts. With a few more grunts and the screech of metal, the lever inches to the dark ground, and the sound of gas rushes through the pipes.
Good,
you say. The pain has ebbed into a dull throb, and you feel suddenly bad for yelling at the boys. You pat the pipe and smile at them.
Very good. Let's have some lunch.
You climb the ladder, and the bright Greek sun slams into your eyes. You hear the sounds of the market. This is the agora, the central square. Above reigns the mighty Parthenon. The agora was once much more vibrant, a center of philosophers and historians, and the merchants used to display a rich selection from as far away as India. But because of the war, it's hard to even get a bag of olives nowadays. Your business has suffered from the embargo. The only way to get gas from Asia to your refinery at Athens is by wagon, an extremely expensive method of transport in an age of paddle wheelers. Only your smallest, fastest ships have been able to breach the blockade, and there are never enough to keep the street lamps flowing. You sit your team down at an outdoor cafe near your refinery and order a big plate of fried squid with lemon, cheese, and olives. A big jug of wine mixed with 4 parts water brings a smile to the boys' sun-bronzed faces. They clink their clay glasses and begin to sing a lively tune. The song trails off as a group of hoplites corral a miserable gang of disgraced Spartan soldiers through the agora. The hoplites carry the long rifles you designed. Your son, Daedalus, follows with his bodyguard. You feel a sickening anger at the sight of him that surprises you. It's such a strange mix of pride and hatred. He's the hoponymous Archon, the elected ruler of Athens, and his name will forever be used to identify this year. But he struts around with an overbearing pride that you can't understand. He's drunk on power, and he's become cruel. You never brought him up this way. Daedalus notices you sitting at the cafe and glares at you.
"What do you think you're doing, old-timer?"
he says, slowing his pace.
"I told you to work on those defenses. Are the flamethrowers working?"
"Yes, son."
"Have you tested them?"
"Not yet. We just got the gas lines flowing. We'll light them up after lunch."
"So you haven't tested them, and you're sitting around drinking wine?"
"Look, we've been working hard underground all morning, and we just stopped for some lunch. We'll run a full test after the boys have eaten."
"You mean drink? I want those men in armor. I want all your men in armor. We're at war, by the gods."
He walks over and kicks the table. The jug smashes on the ground. The boys look at you, scared.
"You think these Athenian hoplites are drinking? Do they look like they're sitting around drinking and eating squid?"
Daedalus walks over to the server holding the lunch platter at the doorway. He punches him in the gut, and the platter falls to the cobbles.
"These men are doing their duty. They're defending your worthless lives."
He leans in to one of your boys.
"This old-timer is making you soft, filling your minds with ideas that aren't Greek. But we'll make a man out of you yet. Come here."
He cuffs the young man on the back of the head and grabs him by the ear. The young man leaps up and follows your son towards the hoplites and their Spartan prisoners.
"Daedalus, what are you doing?"
He ignores you.
"Give him your rifle,"
he barks to one of the hoplites, who mechanically shoves it into the young man's chest.
"Have you fired one of these before?"
Your worker shakes his head vigorously.
"Here, prop it up on your shoulder. Point and pull the trigger."
The gun is pointed at one of the disgraced Spartan soldiers. He raises his hand to his face and looks away.
I can't, your worker says.
"You, hoplite, raise your rifle,"
your son says, pointing at one of the helmeted men.
"I'll count to three, and if this young man hasn't pulled the trigger, shoot him."
"What are you doing, Daedalus?" you say.
"One, two,
crack." Your worker fires the rifle, and the cowering prisoner's shin explodes with blood. He screams. Your worker drops the rifle.
Pick it up, your son says. I said, pick it up.
Daedalus picks up the rifle, reloads it, and slams it into your worker's chest.
Shoot again, this time aim for the heart.
With shaking hands, your worker raises the rifle. It cracks, and the prisoner is thrown backwards, a bloody hole in his chest. Daedalus takes the rifle from him and hands it back to the hoplite.
Now, go back to your table and have a drink, he says.
Your worker runs back, tears in his eyes.
We're at war,
your son says in a booming voice so the whole agora can hear.
We're at war, and there's no space for weakness. When the Romans come, you all must be prepared to kill. You must be accustomed to the sight of blood, so harden yourselves to it. You might not like it, you might think it's cruel, but let me tell you, if you're weak, the Romans won't be. And if they breach the walls, you will see hundreds of thousands of deaths like this one. And it won't be some soldier from Sparta. It will be your neighbors, your friends, your own family that the Romans will murder, or worse. Athenians, harden yourselves.
He nods to the hoplites, who corral the prisoners against the wall of your refinery.
Athenians, did you not know that only 3 days ago the Romans sacked Sparta? They destroyed the army of this legendary people and sacked their city.
Everyone gasps. You feel your own heart skip a beat. That army was supposed to stop the Romans. If the Spartans were crushed, if Sparta was destroyed, there is truly nothing between you and the legions, except for the walls and your flamethrowers. Your granddaughter's face flashes before your eyes.
The Spartans had an old saying, your son says. Return with your shields, or on them. Look at these defeated soldiers, these cowards who ran here to Athens for protection. Do you see a single shield amongst them? No, that's because they threw their shields away and ran from the Romans. Well, in honor of Sparta, we're going to follow their age-old custom and destroy these cowards.
The prisoners begin to shake. Some of them collapse to their knees in supplication, but most stand firm, awaiting their fate with honor.
Now, I want every one of you here to watch this. Do not blink. Watch what happens, and allow the sight to burn into your minds. The gore you see could be your family members in just a few short days. Fear what you see. Grow angry, and let the fear and anger harden you for war.
Daedalus turns to his hoplites and nods. They fire their rifles, and a row of prisoners collapse. The rest, the survivors, run, scattering into the crowd. The hoplites pull their swords and rush after, cutting them down wherever they find them. One of the Spartans trips on a stone step leading to your cafe and lands with a crash on your table. A hoplite grabs him by his long hair and cuts his head off. He tosses the head on the table, and you watch the prisoner's eyes dart around, then slowly glaze over. The agora is in chaos. Everyone's running, trying to escape. You let your workers go. The poor boys are terrified. Your son passes you, a wicked smile on his lips. Now, go test the flamethrowers. A middle-aged woman stands in the agora, looking at you. You recognize her face, though you can't quite place her. She looks Lydian, with dark olive skin and black eyebrows. That face, where have you seen that face? She walks over to you and sits at your table. She bends and looks into the eyes of the severed Spartan head. She smiles sardonically. Not quite the vacation you wanted, eh? Vacation? What are you talking about? Come on, you know, think. You look at her. You just can't place that face. It looks rough, like she's lived hard. Her hair is streaked white. She smiles and reaches into a pouch. Pulls out a small, metallic object and lays it on the table. You have to blink. It's a chip. The same type of chip that allows you to speak ancient Greek. A chip that's inserted in your brain. You recognize me now? We met in a cab, back in Urumqi. Come on, it was only a few weeks ago. It's been 75 years for me. It's time to go home. Home? Where do you think I am? This is my home. These are my people. I have children. Grandchildren. Ha! That guy Daedalus? That's your son? You must be proud. Yes, that is my son. So you want to stay in this world? For him? You want to wipe the smile from her face, but instead you curl the fingers of your good hand into a fist under the table. Come home, she says. She looks around and crumples her nose. You are married?
Yes.
How many years?
10.
What ended it? A plague?
Something like that.
Nasty business. You don't belong here. Look, if you're going to stick around a world, you could find a better one.
This was supposed to be a better one.
Right, well, those Romans are pretty resilient. But look, there are better worlds out there. Worlds where no one's ever heard of the Romans. You like Athens, right? Why not try a Buddhist Athens? There's this one world where Buddhism spreads all across Europe. It's very peaceful, no wars. I think you'd like it.
Why have I been here for 5 decades?
There was an accident. Well, a terrorist attack, actually. Ramadi Turk and his band of thugs blew up the main generator of the Twilight Histories. Killed about a dozen engineers and stranded a bunch of tourists like yourself in different worlds. We're trying to bring you all back.
Not interested.
That's just crazy. Look, you're getting old and your blood is stale. I bet you've never been sick before, and let me tell you, it's awful.
I caught the Black Death once.
Yeah? And I bet you never even had a sneeze. You don't know what it's like to really be sick. And when that military-grade blood in your veins goes stale, you're going to feel things you've never felt before.
You take a deep breath. You have felt your body start to change. You ran out of anti-aging meds years ago, and you can feel it in your bones. All your joints ache in the morning.
Take this chip. Replace your old chip with this one, and the Twilight Histories will be able to find you. Hopefully soon, too. Let's bring you home.
You pick up the chip and
play with it. So strange, so familiar, and yet so out of place in this world. Your granddaughter wheels herself into the now deserted agora. She sees you and starts moving her chair towards you. There are tears in her big child's eyes. "What are you doing here? You should be safe at home," you say, standing.
"I was worried about you. I saw the workers. They said they left you in the square."
You stuff the chip in the mouth of the severed head on the table and walk towards your granddaughter. "This is my home," you say to the agent. "I'm sorry for wasting your time."
"Can we just look at it?"
Persephone says.
"I want to see the winged victory."
You remain fixated on the cracked flange. It overheated and cracked during your latest test of the flamethrowers on the city walls. "We'll see it soon enough, dear. Could you pass me the calipers?"
"I don't see why we have to wait. The flamethrowers work, all except this one. We've done what my father asked for. Why can't we take a break and just see the flying machine?"
"All in good time. It's important to your father and to me that the walls are properly defended. We can't have a single flamethrower out of commission." Persephone places the calipers in your hand with a huff and looks back over the wall, straining her neck.
"You don't need calipers to tell you the flange is broken. Just replace it, and you'll need a new washer, too."
"You're a smart kid, do you know that? I don't know what I'd do without you."
"Well, you wouldn't have a working fuel injection system for the winged victory, that's for sure."
No, I wouldn't. But before you get too high on your horse, just remember whose idea it was in the first place, my little dove.
"You told me a story about a boy who flew too close to the sun. But they were my test kites. It was my engine and my designs."
"Yes, that's true. The winged victory is yours. No one can take that from you."
"It's not fair, you know. I designed the generators that keep Athens lit at night, and you take all the credit and the money."
You lay the broken flange on the battlement. Look out over the olive-treed hills. "I know, dear. There are things about this world that aren't fair. I hate it that you have to work in secret. And I hate it that I can't openly hire you. I'd make you chief of development if things were different. But I really believe one day things will change. I have to believe that."
"Maybe I should just go to Alexandria. Things have changed there."
"Well, you know how your father would feel about that."
"I hate my father."
"Careful now. He loves you. In his own way."
"No, he doesn't. If he loved me, he'd let me follow my passions. That's what you taught me."
You run your good hand through your thinning hair. I'm not sure I said that exactly.
"Then what did you say?"
"When your father was born and I held him in my arms, it felt like my heart left my body and was put into his."
"You still feel that way about him, even after what he did yesterday in the Agora?"
"Yes, I will always feel that way about him. And he will always feel that way about you, too."
"So, What you're saying is I shouldn't go to Alexandria because it would hurt my father's feelings?
I think you need to just give it some time. Wait until the war's over. Your father is under a lot of pressure right now, but he'll go back to the way he was. You'll see.
The way he was still a misogynistic pig.
She slumps back into her wheelchair and scowls at you.
I'll stay, but I want the winged victory. I want to fly.
You smile and relax a little. We'll see your airplane, I promise you, and you'll fly one day soon. We just have to wait until the Romans are defeated. Just be patient. Now, you should go home. We don't want your father to know you're missing.
A horn sounds from outside the window of your office, braying like an old ox. You can just barely hear it over the generator of your refinery. You step out of your office and motion to one of your workers on the floor to turn it off. The generator rumbles to a stop, and the sound of horns, many horns, fills the room. Your workers look up at you. The Romans are here, you say. You leave the refinery and run up to the Acropolis as fast as your aging legs will take you. There's a crowd standing on the porch of the Erechtheion, their eyes filled with trepidation. You join the crowd and follow their eyes beyond the walls, out towards the horizon as a cloud of dust and the telltale glint of metal. You pull out a small periscope you made and point it towards the dust cloud. Roman soldiers explode into view. They're deploying. You can see centurions running up and down their ranks, making sure everyone's in line. The soldiers' rehearsed movements remind you of a mechanical watch. But these soldiers look meaner than you imagine. Decades of civil war have converted a clockwork army into a mechanical beast. Their faces are grim. Their iron armor is pocked and dark. Their cloaks are dyed black and are ragged falling apart. This is an army without a heart, merciless and methodical. No wonder they beat the Spartans. As the ranks maneuver down a hill, you make out a group of horses with highly decorated officers at the rear. You adjust your periscope so you can look more closely. One of them has his helmet on. He must be the one in charge, the general. He has short, curly, graying hair, bronzed skin, and a large, cleft chin. You're not sure if it's his horse, but you swear he has a swagger.
It's Daedalus! Someone shouts. You put down your periscope and see a group of hoplites marching out of the gates of Athens. There is your son, leading the group on horseback. Daedalus, what are you doing? You say to yourself, feeling the desperation well in your heart. Get back behind the walls!
The one advantage the Athenians have is rifles. But unfortunately, they don't have many, and you're suddenly very conscious of their primitiveness. They're nothing like the high-caliber Napoleonic weapons you used in Afghanistan. in the rush to get gunpowder weapons mass-produced before the Romans arrived, you had to go low-tech, simple. These rifles are more like 16th-century arquebuses, more bang and smoke than killing power. They'd be very effective from the walls, used together with the flamethrowers. But on the field? Your only hope is that the gunpowder will scare the Romans. The Athenian hoplites are deploying in a long line, three deep. There aren't many of them, perhaps just a couple thousand. They look like a thin string on the landscape compared to the massive Roman blocks of armor rolling towards them. The way Daedalus seems to have the soldiers organized, only the front ranks carry rifles. The rear two hold the traditional long spear pointed out towards the Romans. The Romans are closer. You can feel your heart thumping in your chest and the sweat pouring down your brow. The first volley is fired, and an explosion of white smoke fills the space in front of the hoplites. Through your periscope, you see Roman peltasts devastated. A wonderful first volley. The survivors run back to the safety of the legionary soldiers. Time goes by, painfully slow, as the riflemen reload. You wish you'd invented something that was quicker, something breech-loading, perhaps. Maybe even some kind of machine gun with a crank. As you ruminate this thought over, another explosion of white smoke fills the field. You raise your periscope and see the Romans stepping over their fallen comrades. They don't look scared. In fact, they haven't slowed down at all. You do a mental calculation. There's no way the riflemen will be able to let off another volley before the Romans charge them. You curse your primitive rifles and your son. How could he be so foolish? It's his damn pride. You look through your periscope. The riflemen are desperately trying to reload, stuffing gunpowder and shot down the barrels of their guns. Guns that will soon be useless. There's a kind of frantic desperation in their movements. They're making mistakes. Many of the hoplites are slowly backstepping. A command is given, and the Romans rush forward like a horde of ants. The first line have their pilums raised, ready to throw. Some of the riflemen are able to get out a shot, but it's too late. The pilums let fly, followed by a second wave from the next ranks, then another. This time, it's the Athenians who are devastated. The terrified survivors throw down their spears and rifles and run back towards the city. The Romans tear after them. Ballistas and catapults are wheeled in. Soon, there's a withering shower of massive spear-sized bolts directed at the walls. You're amazed at how accurate they are and how fast. Men are easily picked off from where they stand or walk along the walls. It's not long before the defenders figure out that these aren't just lucky shots. They crouch behind the crenellated stone, but even here they aren't safe. The masterful ballista operators train their weapons on the hiding men and wait for them to pop their heads out for a look. When they do, a bolt the size of a man makes sure they'll never see again. The legions rush up to the walls with ladders. This is what you've been waiting for. Through your speech funnel, you order the flamethrowers to let loose their deadly vomit. Wet, chunky fire bursts out of pipes along the walls. Hundreds of Roman soldiers are instantly consumed by flames, and their tortured screams mix with the triumphant whoops of the Athenians. a messenger tells you that a battering ram operated by 50 Romans was doused with sticky hot flames, and that all of them died wonderfully horrible deaths and created a mound of horror at the gates that will hopefully deter any future attempts. The Romans, who were standing in the fields, waiting to pour into the city, rushed back beyond arrow and rifle range. Within an hour, you can tell the day's fighting is over by the smells of food rising from their camp. The Athenians celebrate their victory. The wine is flowing and the people are dancing in the streets. This is the happiest you've seen them in months. But not all the people are celebrating. There are many apprehensive faces, and yours must be one of them. The Romans were repelled, but they're still out there. And thanks to your son, Athens lost over 1,000 rifles, almost its entire arsenal. The flamethrowers should hold the Romans back for now. But you worry that when you lost your rifles, you lost your biggest advantage. You see Persephone at the library door near the agora. Her big, innocent eyes reflect the flickering gaslight. A group of drunk men approach her. They laugh at her wheelchair and close in around her, hunger in their eyes. You race through the crowd and leap up the stairs on rickety old legs. "Get away from her," you say, and the young men raise their heads.
"We were just trying to loosen her up a bit."
"I said, get away from her. Get going." The men shrug and walk down the stairs and into the crowd.
"Thank you," Persephone says, "but I could handle them."
Her eyes have changed. They droop a little, the spark gone.
"Let's get you home," you say, and take a handle of her wheelchair with your one good hand.
"Don't worry about it. I can do it myself," she says.
"What are you doing with my daughter?"
comes a voice behind you. It's Daedalus. You swing around.
I'm sorry. I was just taking her home."
"Your face." Your son has a bandage wrapped around half his face. It covers his nose and one of his eyes. You want to take him, hold him.
"Get away from my daughter,"
he says, and kicks you in the pelvis. You fall to the ground hard, and the pain is excruciating. You scream out. Daedalus takes the hands of the wheelchair and pushes your granddaughter down the stairs. She falls to the cobbles.
"What are you doing?"
you say, and rush down after her. You lift her as best you can. She's crying. A foot presses into your back, and you're on the ground again. You turn around to see Daedalus lifting Persephone by the hair.
"You disobeyed me."
She looks terrified, too scared even to scream. Your robotic arm suddenly comes to life. It smashes into Daedalus's thigh, flipping him right over. He lands on his face. The bandages tear off, and you see half his face is being burnt off. The nose, an eye, an ear. It's all a melted mess.
"What happened to your face, my boy?"
He lifts himself up, grimacing at his leg.
"Your arm works again?"
He looks scared, confused, sad. You can tell your poor boy is hurting.
"I don't know why you're trying to hurt Persephone,
but I won't let you.
You step between Daedalus and Persephone. He starts to back away.
I want you out of Athens tonight, he says. If you're here in the morning, I'll have you killed.
A lone horn sounds. The music stops, and everyone goes quiet. There it is again, from the south.
The long walls,
your son says, his face drooping in terror as he limps off.
Wait, what do you mean?
You say, taking his wrist with your good hand. Your robotic arm has gone dead again.
The long walls are being attacked,
he says. He slaps your hand away and gives you a menacing look. A messenger runs up to Daedalus, panting.
They took the Piraeus! They're coming up the long walls right now!
The Piraeus,
your son says, holding the messenger by the arms.
Sacked! The port city, everything is being looted and burned!
And the navy?
The young man looks down, too horrified to say the words.
And what about the gates of Athens? Are they shut?
No, not yet.
No? What do you mean, no?
There are people trying to escape through the long walls to Athens. They're letting in as many as they can before they close them. Whoever is left in the long walls will be trapped. They'll be slaughtered by the Romans.
I don't care. I want those gates shut, now!
The young man races off into the crowd. You see a red glow in the direction of the Piraeus, and your stomach twists and knots.
Is this the end?
Persephone says, her face illuminated red from the clouds. You lean down to her on one knee. She looks terrified. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's time.
For what?
It's time to launch the Winged Victory. You pull the canvas sheet off the Winged Victory. Its beautiful light body is constructed from balsa wood, shipped in from the New World by Athenian paddle wheelers. Its three wings are supported by elegant diamonds of crisscrossing cables. The glimmering combustion engine sits at the front, exhaust pipes poking out the sides. Its hand-polished wood propeller begging to be cranked. The design was inspired by your faint memory of the Red Baron's plane back in your own world. But the Winged Victory is uniquely Greek, or uniquely Persephone. You came up with the initial concept, but it was she who engineered it. She designed the test kites. She developed the engine. And she drew up the final plans for the Winged Victory. The end result looks so much more elegant than the Red Baron's warbird. It's polished, smooth, and graceful, like a sculpture. Its symmetry, its mathematical unity, reflects the musical rhythms of the Parthenon. And although it may look slender and gracile, it's as strong as granite. With enough fuel, the Winged Victory could fly all the way to Alexandria. And that's exactly where you intend to fly it. The Romans have broken through the gates that lead from the long walls into Athens. No one expected an invader to break through those gates, and an invader never has. The Romans skirted 4 miles of impenetrable stone and went straight for the port city, the Piraeus. Apparently, your son placed all his best men at Athens and left the port city to defend itself. Persephone hands you a tin can full of sloshing gas, and you pour it into the machine. There's a red flash on the polished surface of the exhaust pipes. A loud bang follows, and you drop your can, trying to cover your ears. You turn around and see a fireball racing up to the sky from the center of town near the agora. The street lamps go out one by one, blackness radiating from the center of Athens as though some giant hand flicked an elaborate set of black dominoes. That was your pump station and refinery that just exploded. There's a sinking sensation in your heart, as though the blood drained from your organs. You feel faint. Everything you've done, everything you've created that's good, your whole life's work is being destroyed, one by one, like the lamps flickering out in Athens. Persephone's face is lit by the flames. It's full of pity for you. "Don't worry," you say, forcing a smile. "It's not things that are important, it's people. They haven't gotten you, and I won't let them." You pick up the tin and continue pouring in the fuel. There's fighting in the streets below your workshop. You look down from the roof and see Roman soldiers fighting Athenian citizens. It's a hopeless fight. "Let's get you in," you say, and lift Persephone from her wheelchair and into the Winged Victory. She designed the controls so that the flying machine could be piloted with just the hands. Unfortunately, it requires two hands, so she will have to steer from the front seat while you sit in the back. You press yourself against the Sikia gear. With each clank, the ropes of the catapult grow more taut. You've never tested this catapult, and the fear starts to capture you. What if the Winged Victory can't fly? What if you launch the Winged Victory over Athens just to have it smash in the streets below? And surviving that? Will Persephone be able to pilot the machine on her own, on her first try? You once played with a flight simulator back in your own world, and you must have crashed your plane 100 times before finally giving up. "That's tight enough," Persephone says, leaning over the walls of the Winged Victory. She's not looking at you. She's looking at the sounds in the streets.
"Just a little more, dear,"
you say, heaving at the lever as you try to hit the mark on the gear that tells you the catapult is ready. A pain rips through your side and you scream. "What is it?" Persephone says, but you're on the ground, writhing in agony. It feels like your whole body just snapped and your insides are contracting. Your body twists and thrashes without any say from you. The pain is so intense that you almost black out. You press through it, focusing on your vision. You press against the blackness as though it were the gates of Athens. But these gates are made of the same black hands that snuffed out your network of street lamps. You're being crushed by the dark titan of unconsciousness. "Are you okay?" Persephone says. "Yes, Persephone. If you black out, she'll be stuck in the Winged Victory, unable to launch herself, unable to leave Athens." A bolt of adrenaline spikes through you, and the world rushes in. You press through the pain and lift yourself up. You stagger towards the front of the plane, but your good arm is too stiff to reach up and crank the propeller. Your robotic arm. It worked earlier. Even if just for a moment, it must work again. You concentrate, raising your shoulder up, swinging the useless hunk of machine parts. Nothing. Then, something. It creaks under your artificial skin and moves, weakly. Your robotic fingers brush the propeller crank, but they just slip right off. You try again. This time, you're able to tighten your grip. Just a few good swings. Concentrate. One, two.
Va-vroom.
The engine ignites and you collapse to your knees in exhaustion.
What do you think you're doing?
Comes a familiar voice. You shake it off, thinking it must be an illusion.
Father!
Persephone says. You turn. There is Daedalus, standing at the top of the stairs. He's covered in blood and holds a sword in his hand. His one good eye flickers an unworldly reflection of a city on fire. You feel a mixture of pity and dread.
Son, are you hurt?
Yes, he says.
Where are you hurt?
I'm sure it's nothing. I came here to kill you, but it doesn't matter now.
You'll be fine, Daedalus. Please, come here. Let me look at you.
Daedalus shuffles forward. You're scared for him, the way he looks, covered in blood and carrying that sword. But you have to trust him. He's your son. You take his hand away from his side. There's a long, thin wound between his armored plates. It looks bad. Blood is gushing out.
It'll be fine, you say. Get into the Winged Victory.
No, you're coming with me, not my father.
I can't, sweetie. One day, when you'll have children, you'll understand.
What is this thing?
It's a flying machine. It will take you to Alexandria. You'll be treated by the best medics in the world. Now please, get in.
I can't leave Athens.
You're just foolish. You always were a foolish boy.
These are my people.
That's something you'll never understand. I don't know where you came from, but you don't have roots. You don't know what having roots even means.
But I do, son. I do have roots. I have you and Persephone.
For the first time since he was a little boy, Daedalus looks moved.
Come here, boy,
you say, strain your good arm up to him. You pull him close and press your hand into his back. You haven't held him like this since he was a child. He pulls back, and there are tears in his one good eye.
You say this is a flying machine?
Yes. Now please, get in. There's a seat behind Persephone.
This thing is gonna fly? Up there?
Yes, all the way to Alexandria. Now there's not much time.
His eyes dart from one part of the plane to another.
This is a catapult?
Yes. But once you're safe in your seat, I'll launch you into the sky. Please, son.
No, he says. No, it was my fault that the Romans broke into Athens. I squandered every advantage we had. So I'll die here. But if this thing can save my daughter, then so be it.
He walks to the lever.
No,
you say, and stagger in front of him. You're getting into that seat. You and Daedalus struggle in an embrace like two exhausted boxers in the 12th round. Neither of you can push back the other.
I'll cut the ropes then, he says, and raises his sword.
Daedalus lurches into you and then collapses to the ground. There's a black, smoking hole in the center of his back. You look up to see the agent holding a gun. He was going to kill you, she says, and puts the gun back in her cloak.
You turn over your son and hold his face. His eye is beginning to glaze over.
I'm sorry,
he says, and then he's gone.
I waited till the last moment. I didn't want to interfere, but look, it's clearly time to go. Take this chip.
Your robotic hand surges with raw energy. You take your son's sword and almost crush the iron handle. You lift the sword and rush at the agent. She fumbles for her gun, but it's too late. You cut her in half from her shoulder right down to her pelvis. The blow is so hard that the blade bends on the tiles. You kick the pieces of the agent's body again and again until Persephone's voice pierces through to you.
The Romans are here! Let's go!
You look up to see Roman soldiers snaking around you. Already, you feel the power draining from your robotic arm, replaced with a cold hopelessness.
Remember, don't kill this one, or you'll be crucified! Officer says. General's orders. This one comes with us back to Rome.
A spark of hope. You run back to the Winged Victory. Persephone looks at you with those beautiful, innocent eyes, and you try to draw out the moment.
Get yourself to Alexandria, you say. You pull the lever. The Winged Victory and your granddaughter are launched into the sky.
Hi, I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. What you heard was part one of a three-part series called The Winged Victory. Please go on and listen to the next installment. If you enjoyed this show and want to hear more, there is a store with tons of time travel adventures just waiting for you to download. When you purchase a story from the store, you help support this show, and I really appreciate it. Writing time travel adventure stories for you is something I'd like to do for a living. And by building up the store, we can hope to get there one day. So please, visit twilighthistories.com, click on the store, and browse the titles. I'm sure you'll find something you like. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.
You've been listening to the Twilight Histories with Jordan Harbour.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.